Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Two questions. Do you like to walk on puddles? I do. Maybe it's not the safest thing for us grown-ups to admit that. The second question, have you ever been scared? As I studied this week, there was a phrase referring to Job that just kind of stuck in my mind. The deepest depths are easily within the Lord's providential care, even when we're scared. There was a man whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright. He was one who feared God and turned away from evil. On the earth, there was none like him. Job rightly acknowledged, as Paul proclaimed in his heart, he confessed, or in his mouth. I'm going to start that over because I ruined that one. Job rightly acknowledged in his heart and confessed with his mouth that God is in control of all things. Job is quoted as saying, "With God are wisdom and might. He has counsel and understanding. If he tears down, no one can rebuild. If he shuts a man in, no one can open. If he withholds the waters, they dry up. If he sends them out, they overwhelm the land." Thus far the reading. Job believed in his heart and he confessed with his words and with his actions that the finite mind of the created, himself, cannot grasp the infinite wisdom of the Creator. The book of Job, as you may or may not know, begins with the Lord declaring Job to be righteous in his sight. The enemy comes into his presence and the Lord goes, "Have you considered my servant Job? How righteous he is in my sight." And no one, not even the devil himself, can take that from Job, nor can he take Job from the Lord. But the storms of life can tempt one to curse God to his face. By the time of our Old Testament reading today, this had become Job's reality. At first, Job sees God's hand at work in his suffering. Though he loses all he loved, though he loses all that he had worked for, he had not lost his trust in the Lord. But by the time of today's reading, Job seems to have begun to waver. Having lost all of his children, all that he loved, having lost his livelihood, on top of all that, Job now has been stricken with loathsome sores from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. The depths of grief and suffering had gripped him with temptation and doubt, so much so that he stepped over a line with the Lord. "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, where I might find God, that I might come even to his seat, come into his presence. I'd give him a piece of my mind." I'm paraphrasing there. He said, "I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments." Job was on the verge of forgetting that the deepest depths are easily within the Lord's providential care. Even in times of great loss and suffering, the Lord would not let go of him. But Job was beginning to forget. Job's life had become to him a great storm, a whirlwind of loss and confusion, a tempest of anger and sorrow. So much so that that Job lamented, saying, "Let the Almighty answer me. Let my accuser put his indictment against me in writing." But it was the devil who falsely accused Job. It is the Almighty who preserved him and would restore him. Both our Old and our New Testament readings today remind us that the Lord often appears in the midst of storms, and not just the storms that we experience around here, wind and hail and lightning, but also the storms of life. Storms that at times tempt us, like Job, to question, "Lord, what have I done? What have I done to deserve this?" Fortunately for Job, the Lord answered in the midst of a great whirlwind with strong, hard questions from a heart that cared. For though Job had suffered much loss and was speaking from a heart broken by the hand of the devil, the Lord continued to preserve Job's soul from the doors of the shadow of death, even in his rebuke, that Job may, when the time came, spend eternity with his children. As St. Paul has written, so also the Lord admonished Job to the faith that says, do not say in your heart that you, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend to the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not just some, but everyone who calls on him. For the deepest depths are easily within the Lord's providential care. And so in the same way, and with many more words, the Lord would bring Job to repent that he had uttered things that he didn't understand. And I imagine the Lord, as soon as he repented, in the same way as he had done for Peter, immediately stretching out his hand to Job and saying, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt me? Forgiving him. Our readings today speak of two men, two life journeys, if you will, thousands of years removed from one another. Two men who are not all that different than you or I. Two men both doing their best to be faithful to the Lord, even in the midst of the things that happen in a broken world. The scriptures identify both men as being on the devil's hit list. Remember, as Jesus was working his way toward the cross, he warned Peter, saying, the devil wants to sift you away, in the same way that the devil came into the presence of the Lord. They were on his hit list. Two very different sets of circumstances, and yet both having the same fear and the same uncertainty. But though their lives, their journeys were millennia apart, both men have faith in the same God who still commands the sea, saying, thus far you shall go and no farther, even in our day. And the same power and the same authority with which he shuts in the seas, borrowing words from Job, with doors when it burst forth from the womb at creation, in other words, God would send his only begotten Son to die on a cross, not to be sifted away by the devil, but to say no farther, no farther. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In the same way that the Lord had saved Job, confronting him even in the midst of the greatest storm of his life, so also, in our gospel reading, Peter found himself tossed about by fear and uncertainty. Peter and the others had left Jesus back on the land where he was last seen, dismissing the 5,000 men and their families that he had just fed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But now, just as they had, in last week's reading, found themselves standing helplessly in the midst of a great multitude in the middle of nowhere, they now found themselves struggling helplessly in the middle of a lake in the middle of the night. Have you ever been out on a lake in the middle of the night? It gets kind of dark out there. So as I studied, I wondered, how did they see him? How did the disciples see Jesus, especially if there were clouds and wind? By the time of our gospel reading today, it was sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., the time when the darkest darkness of the night begins to slowly give way to the gray of dawn, the time when the features of the land and the hills would gradually become like great shadows against the morning sky. As I read the book of Job concerning God's creation of these things and the way he talked to Job about it, as I considered Jesus walking on the water, I was reminded of the time I used to work graveyard shift, the third shift, 11 at night till 7 in the morning, and my colleagues and I, we would take turns looking out the loading dock door Is the sun coming up yet? One, because we knew as soon as we could start seeing it, it was almost quitting time, but it was so dark out there. We had a great big light on the loading dock, so we could see the loading dock, we could see the parking lot, and we could see that door and part of the road out there, but beyond that, it was darkness. But as we began to see that sun getting drawing closer, as the sky began to gradually get light, we could see the silhouette of the Sierra Nevada mountains. As it began to grow higher and higher, we could start to see the shadows of the city of Sacramento, and finally the things that were more near to where we were. And as I considered these things, as I considered the words of Job and the things that the disciples were witnessing, for me, that would explain their fear, that shadowy, that silhouette. They were cold, they were wet, they were tired, they had been tossed by the wind and the waves throughout the darkest times of the night. And now in the midst of the wind and the waves, a shadowy figure draws near to them, a silhouette, if you will, at first, walking on the water. Well, they'd never seen something like that before. The people of Israel living among the people of the land that they had not driven out, they had fallen prey to some of the superstitions of the people of the land. And in the minds of the disciples at this point, it was not out of the question that this shadowy figure might be some evil being from the deep recesses, well, the dark recesses of the deep, masquerading as Jesus. But borrowing words from Job, as the dawn took hold of the skirts of the earth, as the darkness under which evil activities occur yield to the light of day, the light was not withheld from this one who stood firm on the waves. The light was not withheld from him, for he himself is the light of the world. He is the one who stretched out the line upon the foundations of the earth. This one is Jesus. He is the cornerstone upon whom the foundations of the earth are laid, and for that matter, the foundations of all creation. The deepest depths are easily within his providential care. And so Jesus comes to those who are his own, not going boo, trying to scare them, but saying to them, take heart, don't be afraid, it is I. Jesus would have complete control over the waters. He would have complete control over the wind and the waves. So to step out of the boat was to step out in faith, to step out and trust that Jesus is indeed in control, like when he fed those folks back on land. God himself has set the boundaries of the ocean's pride, and without his permission, not one billow oversteps its bounds. He whose spirit hovered over the deep at the beginning of creation certainly has the authority to walk upon the sea that he created. But as Peter stepped out on that boat, or out of that boat, as he stepped out, I wondered, what did he expect? Did he expect Jesus to command the wind and the waves to calm? When Peter found himself in the midst of a storm that kept on storming, did he ever doubt the saving power of Jesus, the one who stood on the deep? Long, awkward pause. I don't think he did. Did Jesus challenge him? Why did you doubt? You bet he did. Was Peter afraid? Yeah. Did Peter question his own ability to walk on the water? Sure he did. Did he question his own ability to survive this storm? Yeah. Did Peter doubt? Did he doubt his own ability to do the impossible? Yep. Peter doubted. But I don't think he doubted his Lord, because in his doubt, in his fear of the storm that raged around him, the first thing Peter did was pray. Oftentimes we hear as we watch shows and things, well, there's all we can do. My boys and I watched Pecos Bill yesterday, and there's a point where a boy's dad is injured, and the doctor says, all we can do now is pray. The first thing Peter did was pray. At the first sign of trouble, Peter called out, Lord, save me. Peter called out in his fear, and the Lord immediately grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up. In the same way, Jesus is always near to us, always near to you in his word, ready to forgive, ready to renew, ready to save. One need not, well, the boo that I mentioned earlier, one need not look too far to realize that some see fear as a great motivator. Throughout the centuries, and even in our time, those who oppress sometimes use fear to manipulate and control entire populations of people. Peter and the others were filled with fear that night. Had this been an evil oppressor walking on the water with evil intent, if it had been the enemy, they easily could have capitalized on that fear as an opportunity to take advantage of them, maybe to sift them away as he had desired to do. But Job reminds us that as surely as the sun rises, as soon as the rising sun begins to brighten the eastern skies, as surely as the beautiful contours of creation take on greater clarity and more details with the rising of each sun, so also the wicked are shaken out of the dark folds of their sinful practices and exposed by the bright light of God's justice. In other words, things won't always be the way they appear today. But for those who call on the name of the Lord, the light of God's only Son, Jesus, crucified and risen from the dead, shines his mercy upon all those who trust in him, shines his mercy upon all those who trust in his assurance, in his words, "Don't be afraid, it's me." Jesus extends his hand to the fearful. He rescues his own from the recesses of deep darkness. He walks us back to the safety of the boat. He carries us into the boat, and he journeys with us. And if you are willing, that boat, What's the word for a word picture? I lost that anyway. If you are willing, that boat is the church on earth. That day, Jesus climbed into the boat with the disciples, and the wind and the waves immediately stopped. They immediately quieted. But for some of you, perhaps the storm is still raging. But please know that he who walks on the water, he who lifted fearful Peter, he is with you in this boat. St. Luke has written of Jesus that because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and to guide our feet into the way of peace, in him there is forgiveness of sins. The Lord does not capitalize on fear. He came to take your fear upon himself by dying on the cross, and he did. And though the journey be long and at times perhaps difficult, Jesus bids you, don't be afraid. For he to whom the deepest depths are easily within his providential care, he journeys with you, and he is strong to save. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.